has been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It is the February 19th, 2026 edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner. A little bit of risk off today as we wonder about half of the, I think one-third of our Navy is parked surrounding Iran right now. It's not a laughing matter, but you know what? It's a serious matter, and it's showing up in oil today. Oil's hitting $66 a barrel. We haven't seen that in a long time. But really, the market's not too bad underneath the surface. I've looked at a lot of charts today. Not too bad. The Dow is down 208 right now, 49,454. The NASDAQ is down just 38 points. We've had some big earnings reports here from Deere and Walmart and a few others. The NASDAQ is at 22,713, trying to end a five-week losing streak. I don't know if it's going to do it. We've got tomorrow left, and that's it. S&P 500 is down 13, 68.68. There's your lottery numbers for the day, 6868. And we've got the 10-year is up today to 4.09%, 4.09%. Bitcoin is down again. Man, I'll tell you what, that thing looks ugly. It is down 837 to 66,590. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a show where politics, world events, current events, the economy, individual micro analysis of individual companies, macro analysis of the overall markets, all collide in what we call the Best Stocks Now show. But it is much, much more than that, as we address a lot of different concerns around the world, and all of it impacts you in one way or another. And I do get up early every morning to make sure I've got everything that has happened since yesterday of note. And then I pick what I think are some of the top stories to relay to you, the ones that I think you'll find the most useful and interesting.
And no matter our background, something's, you know, the market always affects your back pocket, your pocketbook. So
everyone has a pocketbook. Yeah, so, if you have a job and they've introduced AI into your workspace, you may be in trouble. The price of oil, when you go to fill up your tank today, you say, hey, what's going on? I thought Trump said prices are coming down. Well, oil's hitting 60. I was shocked to see that, $66 a barrel. It's been under 60 for quite some time.
And you remember how low we got, you know, right around when, we had, the Venezuela deal, right? That was, we hit about, 55, 57 or so, right?
And we've seen a lift since then. And we did become bullish on the oil, the energy patch, as it rose up to the number two sector in the app, right behind the semiconductors, believe it or not. So we have been doing well so far on our oil holdings, which we have not had any for a long, long time. Well, the markets did finish up to the upside yesterday. They did give up some of their earlier gains, but it was a pretty good day. It was up more in the morning. It started to sell off as the rhetoric between us, the U.S., and Iran continues to heat up. Iran seemingly has their, their feet in the ground. They're not going to budge. They want to say, well, we'll get back to you in 2 weeks. Meantime, we have one-third of the Navy. I saw a map of where our ships are located, basically surrounding Iran at the current time. And for now, Iran is being stubborn and proud and not backing down. I won't back down. You can back them up to the gates of hell, and they won't back down, has Tom Petty said. This is not a good development.
I don't know if they sing that in English, but from a little
yes,
Farsi,
I don't know how you say that in Farsi.
Right.
But in my humble opinion, I think Iran has got a little bit of, you know, I think that they've got some... They seem to have stiffened their back, and it seems to me that maybe underneath the surface, I'm sure this isn't a guess. I know that China and Russia are involved in these talks too, and they're not going to take our side. China and Russia will take Iran's side, and maybe Iran has been emboldened a little bit because they know they've got Big Brother at home that can beat us up if he has to, and that's just not a good situation at all. It is rocking the markets just a little, although as I looked at individual stocks this morning, not much was really happening, but that is in the background, okay? Gold was up big yesterday. Silver was up 5.1%, but the biggest thing that I noted yesterday, and I sent this out on X yesterday, I said, obviously the Iran talks are not going well. Oil was up 4.9% today, yesterday, 4.9%. And today you're above $66 per barrel, a number we haven't seen in a long, long time. So that's got the markets a little bit on its back foot here today. There's an article. Oh, we have a new article out on Seeking Alpha today. Our current take on Tesla.
Always a fun one. Yeah.
You know what? That's a difficult company to get your arms around. I mean, that is a very, because it obviously is much, much more than just the car business. It's really morphing into more of an energy business, I would say, along with other things. And we put out our article and our current take on Tesla today. It's on Seeking Alpha. We are committed to a couple articles per week this
year. You're cranking
year,
them out.
And it's happening, okay? Now, the sectors to watch in case of a U.S. military action against Iran. So there's the big question. You know, will Trump, he struck once. I mean, he sent in the bunker busters and busted their bunker in a new place, you know, that had been busted before with their all their nuclear ambitions, which they will not back down from. Anyways, the massive military buildup growing in the Middle East amid unprecedented air power in the region. Look, Barry, I've been dealing with this since I was in high school.
Right.
With the Iran-Contra and the oil embargo and lining up for gasoline. And I believe it was the same guy, the Ayatollah, who's been a thorn in the side and just got cancer on the world for many, many years. But we've got F-16 fighters, F-22s, F-35s, refueling jets, radar and intelligence gathering planes.
Plenty of cruise missiles.
Two aircraft carrier groups. Well, I know that's all to put pressure on them. That's a negotiating tactic, right? You point a gun to their head and you make them a deal, you make them an offer they can't refuse, but so far they're refusing it. And, you know, on our side, we want zero nuclear enrichment on their behalf, and they refuse to back down. And, of course, they've got trouble at home with their own people. And so, anyways, there's a significant war premium being tacked on to crude oil at $66 per barrel right now. And, of course, you're seeing it show up also in gold. And in silver, not in Bitcoin, however. We've learned a lot about Bitcoin during this.
I mean,
it is not
stalled.
A place to run for safety,
it is it?
It
is stalled out, and like I said, I mean, it's you know, I've really have been looking at it as a gauge of risk appetite, and you know, you've seen some risk appetite step back in the market, but it hasn't showed up in Bitcoin. Yeah, it's it's pretty telling at the moment.
Well, I've never been a fan of Bitcoin, and you know, it looks like Bill might be right again. We'll see. Weekly initial jobless claims fall by the most since November. Okay. That's a good thing. That's like the third good jobs report in a row that we've had.
Yeah, and pretty significantly under what was expected. I think 225 was the expected number.
Came in at 206?
Yeah.
206,000 initial jobless claims. Now, the good news is that's a good number. I'm seeing breaking news that Trump says good talks are being had with Iran, with Iran. Okay, that's coming out of Israel, that news, which I keep my news monitors on all day with breaking news. The bad news on this good jobs report is don't think you're going to get any kind of a rate cut anytime soon, at least not as long as Powell remains as the chairman. We'll be right back.
I'm the train they call the city of New Orleans. I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done.
Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. U.S. trade deficit swells more than expected in December. Hey, what's going on with that? The idea was is we were going to narrow the trade gap. That's the difference between what we buy, the freighters coming into the Charleston Harbor, and the freighters leaving the Charleston Harbor. They continue to leave with a lot less than they come in with around the world, around the country, because the deficit, trade deficit, was $70 billion in December. So something's not going right there with the tariff war and all this kind of stuff. We're not making much progress. Now, who is making progress? Sam Altman was on CNBC yesterday, and he was praising China. He said that the progress of Chinese tech companies across the entire stack was remarkably fast. Okay, now, let's just think about that for a minute. What's become of Apple and their iPhone business in China? Well, they came up with their own phone, which I'm sure has got a lot of Apple technology in it, Huawei phone, and now they've taken a huge market share away from Apple. Now let's think about Tesla. Tesla had the China market wrapped up. Now there's BYD, there's NEO, there's all these different Chinese EV companies that have are now making way more cars than China or than Tesla is. Okay, so now we say, who's next? Well, you know, we continue to watch Nvidia, obviously.
AI,
we continue to watch AI. Of course, Altman is probably second place now to Gemini, Google Alphabet's Gemini, according to many people.
It's almost a kind of a poke. His comment was kind of almost seemed like a poke at China, meaning remarkably fast, almost like too fast.
Yeah.
Meaning you guys.
You can't explain it unless they're reverse engineering stuff. But, you know, a famous professor at Harvard School, Clay Christensen, who wrote the book on the
disruption, right?
The disruption conundrum. What you don't want to do as a disruptor is to start building overseas.
Essentially exporting your technology.
Exactly, and that's what has happened.
Yeah.
And we also have to think about NVIDIA's chips, obviously. We have to think about ASM Lithography, who has a corner on the market right now on on the you know, the equipment to make the chips. So it's all open game, right? I mean, the race is on. SpaceX, military, weaponry, everything. And Altman said that they have come along remarkably fast. He says the pace of technological advance in many fields, including AI, is amazingly fast, Altman said.
Yeah, amazingly.
In some areas, Chinese tech companies are near the frontier, and where others, they lag. Altman's remarks come amid China's push to compete with the U.S. in developing artificial general intelligence, where AI reaches human-level capabilities and deploying it widely across their society. Okay, that's interesting. Earnings continue to come in. We have some more here that we're going to report on today. Walmart and Deer are the two big ones today.
Deer was a nice one. Walmart was a little
Yeah, Walmart stock is too expensive for a 4 or 5% growth company. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's the most widely held stock in America today. Everybody, not us, but most people, not everybody, most everybody has Walmart. If you have a portfolio with one of the big Wall Street firms, they all own Walmart. Because people, it's a name everybody knows. You know, it's usually right next to McDonald's, and you're in Walmart buying Procter & Gamble stuff, and you know, on and on and on, and that's how they pick stocks back on Wall Street. We do things a little bit differently there. We'll get to those reports here in a minute. Another interesting stock that I'm following, Tower Semiconductor. You know, I it keeps showing up in a lot of my screens with the Best Stocks Now app. It is a smaller chip stock, but they continue to, you know, make gains in several areas. I want to say it's out of Israel. Yes, it is. It's out of Israel. But that's now a $14 billion market cap company. And Tower is making advances here. The news today, which caught my eye and caused me to go to the app and see where Tower is ranked right now, pretty high. It's not a mega cap. It's not a large cap. It's not a dividend payer. It's a pretty aggressive smaller cap company, TSEM. But the news that caught my eye today is they are expanding a partnership to scale photonic quantum. There's that word quantum.
Oh, and photonic. We got photonic, too. We got
yes. And they're teaming up with a company called Xanadu, which... Yeah. Was a movie back in the 90s, and Olivia Newton-John sang the song, and I think the Electric Light Orchestra was involved there, so a lot of things coming together here. But anyway, Xanadu and Tower have co-engineered a production process and material stack designed to support scalable, large-scale photonic quantum systems. Now, I don't like the quantum stocks. The Rigettis, the QuantumScapes, etc., and they're doing terrible. The stocks are doing horrible. But the picks and shovel stocks, like a Tower Semiconductor, TSEM, that's always, usually, more often than not, my preferred route to play a new technology. They all have to invest in the equipment to make quantum chips, and TSEM seems to be the pick, one of the picks and shovels, just like Levi's was in 1849 when the gold miners came to the Silicon Valley. Dell in focus as Evercore adds to tactical outperform list. Well, anytime a big firm talks up a stock, I look it up in the app and I go, ugh. A lot of times I do that, not every time. But, you know, Dell's got nothing but trouble. Look at the price they're paying for memory chips. They're on the other side of that equation. They're paying up to put memory chips in their servers. I just think Dell is basically a stock of the past, a soggy stock of the past. And if I look at a chart of Dell, now Michael Dell, he's a good guy. He's been around. He's one of the pioneers, obviously, in the PC industry. But that's a very Dell stock. I think D-E-L-L, change the symbol to D-U-L-L, Dell. We'll be right back.
And the boys upstairs just don't understand anymore. Well, the top brass don't like him talking so much, and he won't play what they say to play.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, my wife and I are headed out to Arizona tomorrow to the Phoenix area to take in a couple of, they're just reporting. I think Saturday is like the opening of spring training over there. You know, look, it's a field of dreams in Arizona this time of year. You got all these kids and veterans coming together. And the goal to be on the in that lineup that's introduced on opening day when the Jets fly over and the national anthem is sung and they line up on the base pass there, each opposing team, and there's usually about 25, 30 players that make the team. And, you know, when we show up there on Saturday to watch a game, there's hundreds of Padre wannabes. I mean, you're going down to guys that they just signed out of high school. You've got the single A, the rookie league. You've got the double A. You've got the triple A. There's a lot. And, you know, if you're not in the major leagues, you're not making much money. You're making 40, 50 grand a year maybe if you're in the minor leagues. That's why you don't want to be sent down to the minor leagues, Barry. You take a big pay cut.
It's like, anyways, it's like getting kicked out of the Dow. Walt, yeah. Was it Walgreen? Wasn't that the one of them? It was Walgreen,
yes.
That you, and you said,
yes,
you needed to be replaced.
So, I mean, look, our general manager, A.J. Preller, his job is to find what he feels are the 25, 30 best to field on opening day. Now, you go even
he
further.
He just signed a new contract.
Yes,
too,
he got a little extension. Yeah, I like the guy okay. He's a wheeler dealer.
I thought you did.
They've given him quite a bit of money to play with, and he's filled the place. I mean, Padres sell out almost every game, 45,000 people. So that's a testament to a good quality product on the field. Now you can go a step further, and, you know, in midsummer, we have the Midsummer Classic, the All-Star Game. That's the best of the best. Those are the 25 best or 30 or whatever it is from each league. That's the way I look at a portfolio. Why should it be any different? And I don't want any washed-up veterans. I saw the Padres picked up Walker Buehler, who had quite a career with the Dodgers till he blew out his arm. Now he's coming back from Tommy John surgery. He's damaged goods. We'll see if he can regain anything, if he's still got anything left in the tank. But, you know, you could say that about a lot of stocks out there. Dell would be one, you know, that was pretty.
Microsoft, one that you just wrote about that
we
kind
put
of
a sell rating
would
on
fit
Microsoft.
That, fit that mold a little bit.
Yes, okay. And some up-and-coming younger player replaced it in the portfolio, you know, when we kicked Microsoft out about a year ago or whatever it was. So anyways, Walmart is definitely a widely held company. And look, I can't argue with you owning Walmart in your portfolio. I mean, it is the dominant retailer, them and Amazon, in the world today. But you know, the last 5 years is one thing to look at, which we're going to do. That's where we begin. We begin with the track record. Walker Buehler has a pretty good track record as a pitcher, but there's an asterisk there prior, before Tommy John surgery and after Tommy John surgery. Now, Walmart continues to be the company it always has been, but the growth is not, you know, is not robust. You had a quarter here, which wasn't bad. I mean, their sales were up 6% year over year. They grew their sales by 6%. Now, that growth in sales comes from more people coming to the stores, increase in price and sales, and building new stores, which I'm sure they don't, not building a lot of new ones these days. They have 10,750 worldwide. I think their next move, and it has
they've
been
increasing
smaller
the online
stores.
Yeah, an online marketplace.
And online.
Right.
And delivery. Delivery. Yeah. That's their growth. But you're paying 48 times earnings for 6-7% growth.
Pretty steep, right? I mean, that's what I can't get past is the PE ratio. I mean,
and that's a testament to the widely held Costco gets the same kind of a PE ratio as Walmart does, and Walmart's a very thin profit margin company. I mean, you put Walmart up against an NVIDIA or an ASM lithography, and the profit margin is very, very slim. I mean, it's maybe 4 or 5% somewhere in there.
And they're exposed to parts of the market sometimes you don't want to be exposed to either, things that fluctuate. Number one, labor. They're one of the largest employers, if not the largest public employer in America.
Inflation. You know, they're exposed to inflation.
Very, very much so. Potentially tariffs, right? Gasoline, certainly commodity cost, transportation cost. So it's a business that's got a lot of different levers, and... there's a lot of things that can disrupt it as well.
I would also say it's one of the best run companies of all time.
It certainly is. And about to have a new CEO, announce a new CEO. I think, if I'm not mistaken, this might be the last reporting cycle with the old CEO. So they are kind of, potentially in a bit of a transition mode, right?
Well, because of the popularity and the backing it gets from Wall Street and the institutions, a 10-year investment in Walmart has averaged 21.3% per year. That's not bad. The S&P's done a little better at 25.8%. Another thing to take into consideration is during the last bear market, which is way back in 2007 through 2009, Walmart was up 6.6% during the bear market, while the S&P was down 54%. Over the last 3 years, Walmart, as they've transitioned more and more to compete with Amazon with online sales, the stock's done very well. 39% per year average return, beat the S&P 500. And over the last 12 months, the stock's up 23%, which is double what the S&P has done. So that's a testament to the quality of the management, the product, the experience that people have shopping at Walmart. People love going there. But, of course, investing is all about the next 5 years, and that's where we take a look at the valuation of the shares. And I'm using a pretty rich P.E. ratio on the forward earnings. So when I take next year's earnings estimates, $3.33, I grow them at 7-8% per year over the next 5 years, which is ambitious. You know, I think they'll have a hard time doing that, but that's what I'm using. I get a PEG ratio of 5, which is really stiff. I get a 5-year target price of $177, which is only 44% higher than where the stock is now. I need 80% or more upside potential because I want a favorable risk-to-reward ratio. And right now the reward ratio, the reward part of this equation is very low. It gets an F value grade. So 44% upside potential, but it has done very, very well over the last 1, 3, 5, and 10 years. So my grading system and ranking system takes into account performance, which has been very good, and that's going to weight the overall ranking and grade in a very favorable way. The valuation, on the other hand, is going to be a drag on the overall formula. But Walmart comes in at number 583 out of 5,203.
So stronghold?
It's not bad. Weak buy is where I come in.
We're close to stronghold. Weak buy, yeah, right there. Okay.
If you're a very defensive person that doesn't like a lot of risk and just wants a good, this is one of the better, what are you going to call it? It's not a cyclical. It's just a good old standby, you know, a staple. It's not going anywhere. It's not going to give you flashy returns. You could do a lot worse. But in my growth portfolio,
maybe a stalwart? Is that a good name?
Yeah, that's the word I'm looking
like
for.
Yeah.
It's a stalwart. it ain't going nowhere. That parking lot's going to be full. The line's going to be long to check out, and, you know, it is what it is. But it is not one that we own. It does not qualify for the value portfolio, for sure. It doesn't qualify for the ultra growth. And as I'm looking for the best growth stocks in the world today, it doesn't meet the valuation criteria that I have of 80% or more. So, therefore, we do not own it. I'm not going to talk you out of it. But that's our current take on WMT, the premier bricks and mortar stock company in the world today. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. We're going to go now to the other side of the street where it's a little sunnier. I mean, look, I'm not going to knock Walmart, but let's get a little bit more supercharger into the equation. We're going to go to Houston, Barry. One of our companies has reported today. And this company is headquartered in Houston, and I like it because it is an energy infrastructure play. I mean, they have exposure to electric energy. They have exposure to data center. They have exposure to solar. They have exposure. I don't think they have exposure to nuclear, but I think they would probably be capable of parts of that if they had to. They provide specialty contracting and related services to the electric power. Oh, and they have exposure to the oil and gas pipeline industries. Obviously in Houston, that's a big thing. The name of the company is Quanta Services. The symbol is PWR. Power. PWR. It's an $80 billion company. It went public, let me see when that was. I remember when they went public. I'd have to look back. It was, I think, probably in the late 90s, something like that. But let's compare. They have a Cracker Jack CEO. That always helps. How do I know they have a Cracker Jack CEO? Well, he's rewarded the shareholders quite handsomely who've invested in the company over the years. Over the last 10 years, an investment in power, PWR, 40% per year, Barry, 10-year, 40. Now, I bet you didn't know that. You know, as I invented the app and looked at all these stocks and whatnot, how many times did I slap myself on the forehead? That's why I have a flat forehead. And say, I didn't know that.
Well, and it had a sleepy chart until 2020. If you look at it, it just has been hyperbolic, really, since then.
Because of the need for energy. Right. And the AI is going to be a boom, I would think, to this company. over the last 5 years, this stock has tripled the returns of the S&P 500. Everybody in Houston's slapping their forehead right now saying, I didn't know that. Well, it's delivered 46.8% per year to investors, and the S&P's 15. Over the last 12 months, the stock's up 82%. The market's up 12.6%. Now, there's no guarantees going forward. This is looking in the rear view mirror. You're looking in the rear view mirror, and there's a red Lamborghini coming up on the freeway, getting ready to blow past your little Walmart car. Now, having said that, it gets an A+. When I compare those returns, and I grade on the curve, it gets an A+ performance grade. So that's obviously going to weigh heavily into its overall ranking. But now we get to the valuation part of the equation. And the valuation part of the equation, that's where Walmart flunked. In fact, it got an F. This stock actually gets an A- value grade, and I'll tell you why here in a minute. And when I add everything together, it's ranked number 22 out of 5,203 with no guarantees going forward. It's achieved these numbers and this ranking because of its track record and because of its current valuation looking out over the next 5 years. And you got to say that the future looks pretty bright for an infrastructure energy company, Barry, over the next 5 years, right?
You would think that I'm pretty sure that they've got a pretty good forward your forward guidance
ringing.
Looks pretty
yeah,
we call those earnings fairly transparent, right?
Yes.
I mean, you can see them. They don't have to tell you a big story on how they're going to get those earnings 3 years or 4 years from
yes.
now.
Yes. And I'm using a growth rate of 16% per year. This quarter that they just reported today, their sales 20%, and they've been growing by 22. I'm using a conservative number of 16 right now going forward. And I'm starting with $14.54, and I'm growing that at 16% a year, and I'm assigning a multiple that I think is appropriate. It's trading at about the same PE as Walmart, but it's got a little bit more of a razzle-dazzle than Walmart does as far as the returns and the upside potential. You grow those earnings and you apply a multiple, which is in the formula there. And I have upside potential over the next 5 years of 90%. I just said I need 80% or more. So it gets an A- value grade, an A+ performance grade, and it's probably one of the neatest little stocks you've never heard of. Quanta Power. Well, it's a $90 billion company. And it currently, as I said, ranks number 22 out of 5,200 stocks. And it gets a strong buy ranking. And we do own it in our ultra growth portfolio, in the ultra growth portfolio. Okay. And we're big believers in energy infrastructure. On the big side, I guess a comparable might be GE Vernova.
Yeah, right? I mean, they make the turbines, natural gas turbines that are going to be kind of a key to powering this thing going forward, really.
And GE Vernova is heavily on the eastern seaboard. And Quanta is down in one of the main segments of the country as far as power goes, down in Houston, Texas, one of the power capitals of the world. We'll be there next week. And anyways, I used up all my time. I was going to get to Deer. We'll have to do that at a later date. But I gave you two stocks to contrast one with another. If you're the general manager of your team that you run, your portfolio, which one would you put in your portfolio? Well, you know what? You got to go where you want to go. Do what you want. Right? We rank one against another. I look at the market on a relative basis. I'm not related to any of them, but on a relative basis, comparing one against another. Okay, to get 4 weeks to learn, you can learn so much. The Best Stocks Now Academy. Online Academy every day here on the show, the newsletter every Saturday, the app. It will change your life as an investor, hopefully for the better. We'll see. No guarantees. If you'd like to set up an appointment with us, you say, I don't have time to do all of this, Gunderson. We'll hire your team to do it. 855-611-BEST. Set up an appointment. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.